The processional hymn 547. Approach my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer.
To our service on this third Sunday in the penitential season of Lent. We follow the order of morning prayer, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our brain, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make sweet to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's
name be praised. The psalm appointed for this morning is number 95, the Canticle of Anniety, verses 1 to 7, which may be found on page 118. The Old Testament reading is from the book Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" On page 127, we sing the traditional form of the Te Deum, part 3.
Thank you.
New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these in to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you
and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." On page 130, the canticle, Savior of the World.
We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Ascended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father,
who
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the king. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, may clean our hearts within us. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join in the first and second collects at morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 606, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you created us and gave us imaginations as well as free will. Hear the prayers that we offer to you today. Listen to our thanksgiving for the love you show us, and help us with those things that bring worry and concern. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, give us eyes to recognize, as Jesus did at Jacob's well, the true spiritual thirst in the people around us. Help us all to respond to those spiritual needs through our worship, our outreach, and our social activities. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, your Son Jesus crossed territorial boundaries and ignored social taboos throughout his ministry. Give us the courage to make a stand in situations where women in particular have suffered because what should be uncovered is hidden, where they have been humiliated and downtrodden and dare not tell, and where they have been physically mistreated and cannot tell. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we see in the Samaritan woman someone who has experienced more than one partner. We pray for those we know within our families or communities who are coping with difficult or changing marital relationships. We pray for children caught up in a family breakdown with all the anxiety and upset that it might bring to young and unprepared lives, and for their parents who are struggling to make the right choices for those they love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father and Lord of life, we pray for the gift of courage to face up to and cope with illness. We pray for it for ourselves and for those who we now name before you: Terence Hazley and Rosemary Waller. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we commend into your hands those who have departed this life, and in particular, Dr. Helen Fullerton. You gave them breath and loved them through their journey of life. Receive them now at the end of that journey into your eternal presence, and may they rest in everlasting peace. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, in so many ways you have taught us that you alone can be trusted, even when it might seem that you are far away from us. Help us to remember this fact and to feel your loving presence as we go from this time of worship and return to our everyday lives, walking obediently in the light of your truth in all that we do this and every day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 557, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. A social activist by the name of Joe Cox was a member of the House of Commons in the early noughties. According to her sister, she was a devoted sibling, mother, wife, and friend. By many accounts, Jo Cox was also a voice for the voiceless in communities around the world. She didn't just stand for the marginalized in the United Kingdom. She also spoke out on those she considered marginalized people in the Middle East. Sadly, she was assassinated for her beliefs at the age of 42. Her vocation was driven by one simple belief: we are far more united and have more in common than that which divides us. Her passion was for protecting our common humanity. In this third week of Lent, the Gospel lesson provides a beautiful illustration of what it means to discover our common humanity. Jesus is camped out by a well in a Samaritan city called Sychar. The disciples have gone into town to find food for the rabbi and his followers. A Samaritan woman approaches the well, and immediately Jesus asks for a drink of water. It is fair to assume that the Samaritan woman might have been unnerved by the request, because Jews and Samaritans typically did not speak to one another, as Samaritans were marginalized people in that region. While we might look at this encounter as one between an outsider and the incarnate God. In this context, they are just two human beings who share an interesting conversation. The Samaritan woman has no idea who this Jesus is. Imagine her confusion when he offers her living water instead of the water that she was prepared to draw from the well. She challenges more than just his imagery. She challenges Jesus' ability to get water from the well, inasmuch as he does not have a bucket. She appears to be teasing him further when she says, "If you've got some of this living water, why don't you just give me some of that so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water?" As we encounter people along our journey, our initial reaction may often be that we have nothing in common. Our lifestyles may be completely different. One person is married with children, while the other is single. In our communities, in our workplaces, we share space with humans who love sports, while others are foodies. Encounters arise between people who are profound readers and others who prefer possibly to travel. An extreme introvert connects with a self-avowed extrovert who make friends easily and keeps the room in good humor. If we are able to embrace the notion that we have more in common than what separates us, then as we converse with our neighbors, we are called to find common ground. Remain engaged. Discover some common bonds. Suddenly our empathy meter expands tremendously, and we are able to give voice to and appreciate not only our common attributes, but our differences as well. In Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman, God models for humans what it looks like to be able to stir and to sit and share a moment with someone who appears vastly different from us. Jesus asks for a sip of water from someone he should not have addressed at all. And in that, Jesus shows the world what it looks like when we cast aside the labels imposed by social norms and look into the heart of another human being to connect on a personal level. The Samaritan woman did not know Jesus and was understandably hesitant about sharing too much of herself. He tells her to go and get her husband, and she quietly says, "I have no husband." Jesus knows the rest of her story, so in this case, he tells her her own story, readily pointing out that she has had five husbands. Suddenly, the Samaritan woman has a revelation. "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. This story is a sign of what can happen when we truly see each other." During the season of Lent, this time of renewal, we have an opportunity to seek the image of God in one another. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of life, it becomes too easy to rush past other people and not see each other at all. But in Lent, we are encouraged to slow down and to become present. One of the greatest gifts that Jesus offered the Samaritan woman was presence. He saw her, not her community or her reputation. She was not used to Jewish people connecting with Samaritans. From her response, we can see clearly that it was unusual for her to interact with those outside of her community. Yet Jesus reminds us that we have so much more in common than that which separates us. Empowered with that knowledge, let us move forward, sharing our love of God with others and showing what it is to be God's disciple. You may recall another biblical story about a Samaritan in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. We read in a parable that Jesus told the Samaritans was the one person willing to stop and assist an injured man. Through these encounters with and stories about Samaritans, Jesus offers examples of how we recognize the love and light present in the other. Your own light shines brightest when you are able to see your neighbor clearly. God tells us that we are lights and love when we offer each other a drink of water, both from the well and from the living water given to us at baptism. God asks us not to run away from such moments, not to pass by these opportunities, but rather to embrace them. As one of God's chosen people, you are called to share the light of love with all on your path. The woman Jesus met and spoke with at the well overflowed, not with water, but with newness of life. She ran back to her neighbors and friends to tell them what she had seen and to beg them to come and see this man who knew so much about her. It is remarkable that with one simple conversation, this woman discovered the truth of who Jesus was. She could see him while the disciples he was traveling with were still uncertain about Jesus and the fullness of his identity. By now, the disciples have seen Jesus' work and witnessed miracles that the Samaritan woman has never seen. In spite of that, they are struggling with Jesus' full identity. They don't yet understand what Jesus means when he says to the disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." To do the will of God is our challenge. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our joy will come from our benevolence, our compassion, and the ability to show God's mercy to one another. Throughout this season of Lent, may we claim the time and space to spend with God and to experience how the living water touches and changes our lives. And as you remember the Samaritan woman and meet Jesus at the well, remember those beautiful words of Joe Cox: "We are far more united and have more in common than that which divides us." And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due, all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion, from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. From Thanks and Praise, number 28, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every
All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Let us pray. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Items for the food bank may be left in the church porch today. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. On Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., the Larchfield Community Development Association are hosting a big breakfast at Legacurry Orange Hall. Admission is £12 and all are welcome.
Sunday next is Mothering Sunday. There will be family service in church at 10 o'clock. The next branch meeting of the Mothers' Union will take place on Monday, the 16th of March at 8 o'clock in the hall. The special speaker will be Mrs. June Butler, formerly diocesan president and All-Ireland president, but will be coming to help us in finding a way forward in the future in the Mothers' Union. I do very much encourage Mothers' Union members to keep themselves free that evening and to come along. Tuesday, the 17th of March, is of course St. Patrick's Day. There will be various events taking place in Downpatrick. The principal event will be the festival service in Down Cathedral at 11:45. The special speaker will be Mrs. Palui Rasbrian, the member of the Finnish Parliament, and there will be a wreath-laying ceremony afterwards at St. Patrick's grave. On Wednesday, the 18th of March at 11 o'clock, the Wednesday Club will meet, and the speaker will be from the Patient and Client Council, which independently represents the interests of the public in health and social care. This day fortnight, that Sunday, the 22nd of March, that is Passion Sunday, the service that day will be a devotional service of readings, anthems and hymns for choir and congregation. And it will be followed by light refreshments in the parochial hall. The annual Easter General Vestry meeting that takes place this year in the parochial hall on Monday, the 23rd of March. As usual, this past year will be reviewed. Also, elections will take place for church wardens and a select vestry for next year. This is also a triennial year, and elections will also take place for a diocesan synod person that is a representative who will represent the parish on the diocesan synod over the next 3 years. Also, parochial nominators, that is those who would represent the parish on a board of nomination to appoint a new rector if a vacancy occurred within the next 3 years. While only registered vestry persons may vote or stand for office, attendance is open to all parishioners. The recessional hymn 646, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.